2 weeks from today is the solemnity of Christ the King, the final Sunday in this old year of grace. And the readings appointed for Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours from now through early Advent point our attention to the end of days, to the last day, to the return of Christ in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. Today is also the sixth Sunday in 7 consecutive Sundays when the second lesson is taken from the letter to the Hebrews. If you have not yet read and studied the letter to the Hebrews, there's one more week to do so while we're reading from this text. As we've seen, one of the central purposes of the letter to the Hebrews is to explain the identity and mission of the Lord Jesus by reference to all the types and figures of him in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, there were 2 distinctive priesthoods. First, the priesthood of Melchizedek, the king of Salem, Jerusalem, whose very name meant king of righteousness. Genesis tells us that in addition to being the king of Salem, he was also a priest of God Most High. And after Abram was victorious in battle, Melchizedek met him and offered in thanksgiving to God a sacrifice of bread and wine, thus prefiguring the priesthood and kingship of Christ. The second priesthood of the Old Testament was given by God to Aaron, the brother of Moses, and to his descendants. They were of the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 patriarchs, one of the sons of Jacob, and therefore their priesthood is known as the Levitical priesthood. It was their task to offer animal sacrifice as a sign of the need of the people to have their sins forgiven. With that in mind, we'll look back a few verses before our second lesson begins today to see how it all fits together. Beginning at verse 18 of chapter 10, we read in Hebrews, "Even the first covenant was not ratified without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you.' And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." What was true in the old custom, old covenant, is true also in the new. And so, our second lesson this morning, thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And what is the better sacrifice? Hebrews tells us, "For Christ has entered not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." The meeting tent or tabernacle in the desert and the temple in Jerusalem were but preparations for the truth. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, Hebrews continues, as the high priest enters the holy place yearly with the blood not his own. For then he, that is Christ, would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age. This refers to his ministry on earth 2,000 years ago. The end of the age was then. Every day between the day of resurrection and the last day is in the end times. We've been living in the end times for 2,000 years and will continue to do so until the full number of the Gentiles is gathered in and is grafted on to the olive tree of Israel, and Christ returns in glory on the last day. As it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. In the new covenant, there is only one priest, the Lord Jesus himself. And not only is he the priest, he is the victim, the sacrifice which is offered. And not only is he priest and victim, he is the altar on which the sacrifice is offered. Hebrews says, just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are already eagerly waiting for him. The point is this: by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, the Lord Jesus reveals himself to be both king and priest. He is the only savior of the entire human race. His atoning death on the cross is the expiation and propitiation of the sins of the entire human race, of every man, woman, and child who will ever live in every time. And all of that is contained in every celebration of the Eucharist. Every Mass is a sacrifice and a memorial, not because Christ is crucified again, but because by the Holy Spirit, in the sacred liturgy, the truth of the death of Christ is made present to us. This is how we are washed clean of our sins by the blood of Christ, beginning in holy baptism. This is how we are nourished by the flesh and blood of the Savior, which come to us under the appearance of bread and wine in the Eucharist. But the sacraments of the new covenant are not magic. They are signs of faith. And in order for us to live in the grace of the mercy of God, to receive the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of eternal life, we must surrender ourselves in faith, hope, and love. St. John writes in his first letter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the invitation of the church in these last days to the whole human race, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to make a decision to be his student, his disciple, to choose to follow him in the way of the cross, to confess our sins in the hope of mercy and an heir, to become an heir to the kingdom of heaven. But if we say that we have no sin, we say we have no Savior. The point is, we must be prepared to call our sins sins. And this is what we all find so difficult. The final words of the New Testament are both a confession of faith and a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. For 2,000 years, the church has prayed for the coming of the last day. How long it will be, no man knows. God alone knows the end of the age. But while we wait and pray, we also bear witness to the extraordinary good news that in Christ Jesus we have the forgiveness of our sins. And all we have to do to receive that mercy is accept it by acknowledging that we need a Savior, one who has already been provided, one who is priest and king, victim and altar, the Lord Jesus Christ.